Welcome to Valley Creek. We are a movement of hope for the city and beyond, and we're so glad you're listening to our podcast today. Whatever platform you're on, hit the subscribe or follow button so you get notified each week when a new message releases. Also, check out Valley Creek Plus for the latest resources to help you as you follow Jesus. And we'd love to stay connected with you. You can find us on your favorite social media platform or on valleycreek.org. Now let's join with all our campuses as we jump into our message today.
Thank you. save me. Forgive and be with grace and mercy, and I will forget. I will forget.
Come on, this is our story, our story.
You crown me with a love that's abounding. Satisfy my heart with good things. You raise me up. You raise me.
Come on, sing it out.
Bless the Lord, oh
Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And don't think fear as in I'm scared of God. Think in awe and wonder, a reverence for his glory, his goodness, his majesty, who he is and the things that he has done. And I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to forget his benefits, that he redeemed my life from the pit, that he forgives all sins, that he heals all diseases, and then he crowned us with love and compassion by giving us his only Son, Jesus, the King of glory, as a ransom so that we could be reconciled back to relationship with him. Because Jesus is holy, God now sees us as holy. Because Jesus is righteous, we are now in right standing with God. And so the only response to this gift of grace is an overflow of gratitude, of thanksgiving, of praise, and of worship to the one who is worthy. So as we continue to meet with God in this place, may we remind ourselves with an awe and wonder of how great our God is. Amen.
There's a sound in the head that echoes through the ages, led by the angels, a song of endless praise to the King who is worthy of honor and glory. So I fall down in worship and bless his name. All I can say is holy, holy. All I can say is holy, holy.
Yeah.
Lord, just begin to say that out. Jesus, you are worthy.
Lord, you are high and lifted up in this place. Nothing matters but you, Jesus. No name is higher than yours. And we just fall before you and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We love you. Across all our campuses, why don't you go ahead and take your seat. I don't know about you, but as we've been pondering and meditating on the promises of God that he has for us, it has really filled my heart. I'm sure it's filled yours too. And it's given me this desire to say, Jesus, you've done so much for us. What can we possibly do to say thank you? And do you know that today we have an opportunity to answer one of Jesus' prayers? Did y'all know that Jesus prayed a prayer, a very specific prayer for you and for me? It's in the Gospel of John in the 17th chapter. Jesus is talking to the Father, and he's talking about us, the people that will come, the people have yet to see and hear the good news. That's us. And do you know what he prays? He asked the Father, his prayer is that we would be in unity. That we would be in unity. And it really doesn't surprise me, because if you talk to any parent, do you know what the cry of their heart is? That their kids would not be fussing and fighting, but that their kids would be in unity. And so right now, may we be very conscious, may we be very aware at every one of our Valley Creek campus locations that we are a family. We are the children of God, and we are in unity today in our worship. And I want to invite you to stay in unity, and let's take a step together. See, as we're about to go into a week of rest and thinking of these promises, I think there's a great invitation for us to take a step together in believing the promises. You see, we can't really receive it until we truly believe it. And so I'm curious, where do you have an invitation to go deeper in your belief of God's promises, that they're for you and for me? See, there's a handful of beliefs that I have today that are from Scripture, and I want to take a look at them very quickly together. And as we look through them, here's what I want to encourage you. Just ask the Lord, do I believe that? How deeply do I believe that? And just see where that invitation for you to go deeper in your belief so that you can truly receive his promises. Let's take a look at a few scriptures together. Here's the first one. You belong to God. It says in John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, you have a birthright. And that birthright is to believe that you are who God says you are. And that is that you're a child of God. Do you believe that? Let's look at the next one. You are forgiven. all the prophets testify about him, Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. He has forgiven you. He has let it go. Have you? Do you know? Do you believe that you are, in Jesus' name, you're forgiven? Let's look at the next one. You are righteous, for God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. It's not because of what we do. It's because of Jesus and what he did. Because of his sacrifice, because of his finished work, you and I are in right standing with our Father. Do you believe that? Let's look at the next one. You have a purpose, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's really hard to believe God's promises. It's hard to believe the goodness of God if you feel purposeless. Somebody needs to hear this. I don't know which campus, I don't know where you are, but you need to know if he has breath in your lungs, there is a purpose for you to walk out and to accomplish, because it's a good work that he's created for you to do. Do you believe that? Last one. You, my friend, are loved. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. The love that the Father has for Jesus, that's the love that Jesus has for us. And all he asks us to do is remain in it. Do you believe so that you can receive? See, I think a good parent wants their kids to be in unity. And you know what else a good parent appreciates? When their children speak the family values over one another so they're not the one doing it. Well, that's what we're going to do together in just a moment. We're going to give you at every campus an opportunity to speak and declare who God says you are to the person around you, because we're a family and that's what we do. So we've made it really easy for you. I'm going to show you how it's done. I'm going to get one of my besties of all time, Haley. Come here, sweet Haley girl. We have this declaration right up here, and in a moment, you're going to be invited to stand and just find one or two people around you, and it's going to go something like this. You're going to step up to them, and if they let you, you're going to put your hand on their shoulder, and you're simply going to say, hey, Haley, you belong to God. In Jesus' name, you've been forgiven of your sins. Nothing in your past or future is stronger than the forgiveness which sets you free. You're in right standing with God. That means God isn't mad at you or disappointed in you. He delights in you just as you are. He believes in you and has designed good things for you to do. God loves you with the same love he has for Jesus, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. And then you're going to ask him, can you receive that by faith today in Jesus' name? And if you're the one being declared over, you get to say, yes, I received that at a girl. So let's be a family. Let's be a family in unity. And let's declare who God says we are so that we can believe and receive his promises and have the most restful week ahead of us. So here we go, Valley Creek, all campuses. And for those of you that are online, I'm going to stay right here and pray for you. So I'm going to invite you to put in that check. Yes, I receive it. But on all of our campuses, I want you right now, stand up, find a person or two, and declare this boldly with confidence. Come on, they need to know who they are in Jesus' name. Let's say it over now together.
We receive your promises, Lord. Show us more of who we are in you. Our hearts are open. Our hearts are open.
Come on, in your own way, can you just tell the Lord that your heart is open?
Our hearts are open, Lord, to your word, to your spirit.
Of grace. it's more like
heart. That's the cry of our church, to be more and more like you. Would you go ahead and take your seat? And across all of our campuses, our team's going to get up and they're going to pass out communion. You see, communion represents the answer to that heart cry. Jesus making a way for us to become more and more like him. Jesus removing any and every barrier so that we could be included in him, become just like him. Communion is an opportunity for us to just be reminded of that over and over, that Jesus made a way. He is the narrow gate to an ever-widening life, becoming more and more like him. And communion is for anybody that's actually placed their faith in Jesus, believing he is who he says he is, and he did what he said he came to do for us. And so if you're not ready for that, if you don't want to take that step, you can let that pass by. But maybe today is the day that you're like, I want that. I want to believe that. I want to receive that. I want to take hold of that. And you might be wondering, like, what does kind of communion have to do with on a day focused on celebration? I think for many of us, communion, we think of it as typically something that's more somber and it's more reflective and intimate. There's nothing wrong with that, but there is also a very joyful, celebratory side to communion. See, communion represents where celebration and rest collide, where they intersect. And it represents the greatest victory that the world will ever know. It represents Jesus broken body and his shed blood. It represents Jesus being our sacrifice as the lamb, but then roaring back to life as the conquering lion. It represents heaven invading earth. It represents the veil being torn in two and the spirit being unleashed. It represents sin being defeated. It represents like all our mistakes being wiped out. It represents $1 million debt of sin being canceled and $1 trillion credit of righteousness being put on all of our accounts. It represents us not having to settle for living like the world, but having a kingdom life right at our fingertips because the kingdom is at hand because of Jesus. It represents victory. Victory over everything. Victory over any mistake you have ever made. It represents a whole new life. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive, lost people found, broken people whole, orphans into sons and daughters. It's the greatest thing you've got to celebrate is holding communion because of what Jesus has done. But it also represents rest, being able to rest in the finished work of Jesus. No more striving, no more performing, no more earning, resting in all that he has done. And it means celebrating the answers to all of the questions that are deep in our hearts. Am I seen? Yes. Am I wanted? Yes. Am I valued? Yes. Am I known? Yes. We get to celebrate all those and we get to rest in those answers. But then the deepest, most important answer or question in our hearts, am I loved? Communion gives a resounding yes to that. You are loved. You are loved by a good father who loved you so much that he sent his one and only son for you. He held nothing back. You are loved with a radical, unconditional, perfect love. And then you get to rest in the realities of the answer to that, that I am loved. So communion represents our celebration and our rest. Jesus tells us that on the night that he was betrayed, that he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. He was grateful to be broken so that we could be made whole. And he tells us, as often as you do this, to remember him. That's the one thing you think about when you receive communion. You remember Jesus, who he is, what he's done, everything that you now have because of him. And so let's take our bread and let's receive this together, remembering Jesus. And then it says that he took the cup. And he says, this represents my blood being poured out for you. And I'm going to write a new deal with it. I'm going to write a love letter with it. A new covenant. No longer will you be judged by what you have done. You will be judged by what I've done. And I've done it perfectly. It is finished. Rest in it. So he says, as often as you do this, to remember me. So can we receive this together, remembering the finished work of Jesus? So Jesus, thank you. Thank you that we get to celebrate a victorious life in you, and we get to rest in your perfect love.
Of those that he made clean, a grace so wide.